Welcome to the Nip Tuck Coach Radio, your cosmetic surgery connection. Join cosmetic surgery Nip Tuck Coach, beauty expert, and author of Safety First, A Consumer Guide to Cosmetic Surgery, Michelle Garber, your host of the Nip Tuck Radio Show. Michelle's goal is to empower listeners and help them make safe cosmetic surgery procedure choices. This fun and lively show explores the world of beauty and cosmetic surgery and features expert guests on a variety of topics. No hype. Your host, Michelle Garber, is here today to help you navigate the confusing world of cosmetic surgery.
Hi, everyone. This is Michelle Garber, and welcome to another episode of Nip Tuck Talk Radio. I'm Michelle Garber, your host, and we're broadcasting this morning from San Francisco. If you don't know me, I'm founder of Nip Tuck Coach, an independent cosmetic procedure consultancy, and I'm a patient advocate. My goal is to help you navigate the confusing world of cosmetic procedures by keeping you safe and well-informed so that not only do you get a great result, but you get the best result. And to create more consumer awareness for safety and beauty, I've written a comprehensive guide called Safety First, the 10 Golden Rules for Safe Cosmetic Surgery, which you can download for free at my website, which is www.niptuckcoach.com. Joining me today from LA is Dr. Michelle Spring, and we're going to be discussing the newest type of gel breast implants called the gummy bears. Hi, Dr. Spring. Are you there?
I am. Hi, it's great to be here.
Thank you for joining me. Thank you. Michelle Spring is a board-certified plastic and reconstructive surgeon at Marina Plastic Surgery in Marina Del Rey, California. She's assistant clinical professor of surgery at the Keck School of Medicine at the University of Southern California and helps direct the USC Marina Del Rey Aesthetic Surgery Fellowship. Dr. Spring is on the advisory board of the Busted Foundation, which aids women suffering financial hardships due to medical expertise from breast cancer treatment. She also works with organizations dedicated to providing training for plastic and reconstructive surgeons in underserved country. Dr. Spring has appeared on Good Morning America, Inside Edition, and is frequently a guest on radio. A mother of two, Dr. Spring is very knowledgeable about plastic surgery issues affecting mothers, including breastfeeding, breast implants, as well as mommy makeover procedures. So there are many different types of implants on the market today. There's saline, silicone, round, smooth, textured, gummy bears, and many surgeons have preferences on what they like to use. I think it's really important to educate yourself on the differences so that you can ask the appropriate questions of your surgeon before you go to a consultation. Do you agree, Dr. Spring?
I absolutely agree. It's a great topic to discuss because I find that there's so much information out there, and many times patients are just trying to weed through all the different things they found on the internet, and it's hard to really sort through the differences between the implants and what's right for each person.
And it's also really confusing because there are so many different types of implants, and for the layperson to really understand how these are different and how this would apply to you, if you were thinking of a breast augmentation, can be just, I think, very daunting. And I understand that Dr. Stevens, who's the founder of Marina Del Rey, was the one who coined the phrase gummy bear implant. Is that correct?
He did, and it came about because the form-stable implants or the teardrop-shaped implants are made of a very highly cohesive silicone gel. So they're firm, and if you cut them in half, they maintain their shape, and they're somewhat similar to the candy if you were to cut it in half. So
they're like a gummy bear.
and it's a phrase that really connects with people because we can understand that visual, and it's makes it a lot easier to understand what the implant's like, although they're often a little bit softer than the actual candy.
I think that's really great. Oh, I'm going to go have a gummy bear implant. You know, people are kind of looking at you like, what? What kind of implant are you going to have?
It's really caught on.
Yeah, no, it's a very cute phrase. So there are three implant manufacturers. Allergan, who really has the gold standards, I believe, in implants, and his mentor in Centra, who's the new kid on the block, who also has, they all have these gummy bears. And Allergan says that all gummy bears are basically an imitation of their 410 implants. And let's just, I just want to talk about what is a 410 implant, and do you agree with that statement?
Well, there are the three FDA-approved anatomic or shaped implants that are on the market, and it's a little bit confusing because we use different words for the same implant. We say anatomic, we say shaped, we say teardrop, we say form stable. They're all referring to the same basic shape implant that has a strong silicone gel in it. There are variations with the companies, and there are variations with the texture of the silicone gel coating, but basically they all serve pretty much the same purpose. There are subtle differences between them. I've used all of them, and I can't say that I have a certain preference necessarily. The company Sientra, I do use a lot of their implants, and I love them, and they only sell their implants to board-certified plastic surgeons. So another physician, say a gynecologist or a family practice doctor who may be putting in breast implants, cannot access those implants. So I think that's a really great thing about that company. But
they're only selling to board-certified plastic surgeons, so any other medical doctor, if there's a dermatologist that's doing implants, they can't buy. I mean, that's a good point, and that's very important to know that. I mean, that's something probably that all the implant manufacturers should really think about doing.
Is right, I think the cat's out of the bag, though.
That's really important because I know that I wouldn't want my gynecologist doing breast augmentation on me. That's a little bit out of his scope. You know, tummy tuck, well, I don't know. It's a little bit closer to what he's used to working with, the stomach area. But my breasts, no. I don't think so.
Right. And I mean, we go through 6 years of training for these procedures. And so even if you do operate on a different part of the body, it's not really, you can't really apply that very easily and learn how to do something, because if you specialize in something else. But I do think that's something that I do give a lot of credit to that company for. I think that's great for them to do that. But in general, there's the Allergan 410s, the Mentor CPGs, and the Sientra shaped implants, and they all have that teardrop shape. They're all highly cohesive silicone gel. They all have a textured coating. So from that standpoint, they're very similar.
What makes this implant special? And explain a little bit what it means to be cohesive, because I think most of our listeners really don't understand what that means in terms of a breast implant.
Yeah, and we throw the words around a lot. We label the highly cohesive, so that's just a strong silicone gel that is firm. If you cut it, it maintains its shape. It's not liquid. It's not viscous silicone. It won't leak all over the table if you cut the implant in half. And so this really high-strength silicone or highly cohesive silicone is what we call gummy bears. Even the round implants now are still cohesive gel implants, so if you cut them in half, they still maintain their shape as well. And so many people will call all of these firmer, stronger silicone implants gummy bears. So it does get a little bit confusing out there with the terminology. But all silicone implants on the market today are much firmer and more cohesive than they used to be in the past.
So let's break that down then in terms of the gummy bear. What makes this special compared to other implants? And then I think the biggest question that a lot of people have is, if you're saying that it's firmer, does that mean it's firmer to touch, or does that just mean that it's more cohesive inside so there's less complications and risks? Because when we say firmer, I think people think, oh, are my breasts going to feel firmer and unnatural?
So in general, today we only have two options. They're all the silicone is cohesive, and there's a round implant or basically the teardrop shape implant. And all of these teardrop shape implants, which are also started out being called the gummy bear implants, are just a little bit firmer than the round ones because they have to be to maintain that shape under pressure. And they do feel a little bit firmer. Some patients love that and some patients don't like that as much. But that is part and parcel of maintaining that shape, is to have that silicone be just a little bit firmer. That also leads to less rippling, which sometimes can be a problem, although with the newer silicone implants, it doesn't tend to be a big problem compared with saline implants. But that's one benefit of the teardrop-shaped gummy bear implants. They're all textured, and that theoretically in a lot of studies shows to reduce the risk of capsular contracture. So that's a good thing. And they're not for everybody. Certain breast shapes really benefit more from that shaped implant that has more fullness at the lower part of the breast, the gummy bear shaped anatomic implants that we're talking about, kind of using the different words, but we call them a lot of different things. And they're created so that there's less silicone at the top of the implant to give the breast a much more natural look and a flatter slope up top. Does that
so
make sense?
How many, yeah, I think we have to break it down a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
How many different shapes are there in the gummy bear implant?
There are only two silicone implant shapes, round and the teardrop.
Okay.
You only have two shapes to decide between.
And the gummy bears, as we call them, or the 410, come in both those shapes.
How gummy bears originally were named were after, maybe after the Allergan 410s, but they apply to all three companies that make these teardrop shaped implants.
Okay.
They're all highly cohesive implants.
And Allergan, when we say the 410 implants, that's Allergan's.
That's Allergan's.
That's Allergan's
gummy bear teardrop shaped implant. Yep.
Okay.
Exactly.
So what makes the gummy bear then more special compared to a regular round silicone implant?
Just the fact that it has that teardrop shape, so there's more silicone at the bottom part of the implant, so you get a little bit less fullness at the top of the breast. They're a little bit firmer, and they push out the lower part of the breast a little bit more. So it's really just a difference in the shape of the implant and what the woman is desiring in terms of how her breast shape looks.
So if you take a round implant and you hold it in your hand and you hold it between your fingers, right?
It will drop to a teardrop shape, especially when we put it underneath the muscle, because the muscle will push on the top part of the implant, so it will force that shape even more. But the silicone is a little bit softer, so it doesn't push out on that lower tissue as much as the gummy bear implants will with that firmer silicone that isn't easily moved around.
So
these are subtle
differences. So it's when you take that round implant and you put it in your fingers and you see how it drops down, with a gummy bear, it's going to be fuller and it's going to hold that shape better. Is that what
right.
you're saying?
Right.
Than the round implant.
That's right.
But it's going to feel different too.
It will feel a little bit firmer, particularly in women who have very thin tissue, not a lot of body fat, not a lot of breast tissue. Then you can tell more of a difference. In patients who have a lot of tissue covering the implant, then it's definitely harder to tell a difference.
So how do you determine then who's the best candidate for this type of an implant versus the round?
It's a good question. I think different surgeons will have different answers for it. We do know that the teardrop shape can be particularly beneficial in patients who have something called tuberous breasts or constricted breasts, where the lower part of their breast is very short. They don't have a lot of skin at the bottom portion of their breast. So it's beneficial in those patients. I also use it in patients who are concerned about having too much upper breast fullness, so they want to minimize the amount of fullness at the top of their breast and create a more natural slope. So they're a very good implant for that. I kind of base it on what are patients looking for, what do they want, and then what is their natural anatomy telling me too, because that will have an impact on what implant is the best.
And if a woman chooses, let's say a woman has, she's breastfed or she's, in her 50s and she's looking to have breast augmentation and doesn't necessarily want a lift, would the gummy bears give her a better shape than the round in terms of a lift?
I feel pretty strongly. I mean, if a patient needs a lift because she has extra skin or her nipple is not in an ideal position, just putting in implants to try to create a lift does not work that well. It may work to the smallest degree in someone who is very much on the borderline of needing a lift. But if a patient is in her 50s, has had children, breastfed, it's very unlikely statistically that an implant is going to create any sort of lift. So I don't rely. I cannot say that I would pick one of those implants to create more of a lift, because in my practice it doesn't happen very well. Does that
make
sense?
So do you think then that? Yeah. Well, it's interesting because I had a client recently who went to a very well known surgeon, and she is in her 50s, and she had breastfed her children, and she was looking for breast augmentation, and the surgeon said to her, "You don't need a lift." That the round
possible.
Implant would boost her enough.
Mm-hmm.
The implant
she
would give her enough
the
of a lift.
Yeah. It's hard to say, but if somebody's kind of on that borderline of, they might, we could probably get away with not doing a lift, then that's a reasonable approach. But if somebody really needs a lift, they need a lift. They're not going to be happy with just breast implants. It's not going to matter which implant you choose. So it's a very gray zone. Everybody falls somewhere in that zone. But
I understand.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it. I guess it's also probably preference. Every surgeon has their own way of their own preferences,
right?
So to speak, of what they think in terms of lift versus no lift and size. Going back to the gummy bears, I understand that the surgeon has to make a pocket to fit the size, that there's a little bit different in terms of surgically how to place the gummy bears.
Mm-hmm. There is, especially for certain form-stable teardrop-shaped implants, especially the Allergan 410, which might be a little bit firmer, the incision will often have to be just a touch longer to be able to get the implant in. Because they're shaped, we don't want them to rotate, so we have to dissect the pocket very carefully so it fits like a hand in glove and can't rotate. Whereas with round implants, we can make the pocket slightly larger than the implant, and it doesn't matter if the implant rotates because they're completely symmetric. So there are some differences in placing them.
So this is also a little bit more in terms of surgery time. Does it take longer to do a breast augmentation using these implants because a pocket has to be so precise?
No, that's probably experience related. I don't find that it takes a lot longer. I think, there's no maybe 5 or 10 minutes longer, but it's not a significantly longer time frame.
So what are some of the most common complications with the new gummy bear implants?
The one everybody talks about and worries about is rotation. So just what we were saying, if it rotates a little bit and you can tell from outside, that would be a problem. In practice, it doesn't happen that often, so it's something that everybody worries a lot about, but it's a pretty rare occurrence. And then all the rest of the complications are just like anything with breast implants, where there's always going to be a risk of capsular contracture, which is that hard scar tissue that can form around an implant, bleeding, you know, very rare cases of infection, things like that. So
there still seems to be a little bit of a controversy, though, about using these implants. You know, I've actually spoken to several surgeons that are still reluctant to use them because they feel that it's not tried and true yet. They haven't been out long enough, and that there's a higher rate of rupture and possible, as we said, possible rotation. Do you disagree with this?
I do disagree with it. The majority of implants I put in are still round implants, and I think that these shaped implants are really great for certain patients. I don't know of data that shows that there's a higher rupture rate. I do know that everybody worries about rotation like we talked about, and it can happen just like any complication can happen, but it's relatively rare. Shaped implants and cohesive gel implants have been used in Europe and other parts of the world for a lot longer than we've been using them, with really great results. And I think that, I don't agree that they're not tried and tested and safe.
So when a patient comes to you and they're asking for gummy bear implants, do you sometimes have to say, you know what, this really isn't the best implant for you, and this is why? I mean, how many times does that happen?
I really view it as a team sport. You know, the patients want to achieve a certain look, and they know what they want, and I view it as my job to help educate them and come up with a plan that's going to achieve what they want in a way that's safe and that is going to come as close as I can to meeting all their expectations. Because a lot of what I do, and I don't know if you've talked on your show about vector 3D imaging, I love doing that because it's a great way to talk to patients about what their breasts will look like with implants, because it's really common for everybody to look at their friends and family and photographs of other people and want a certain look, but we really have to look at each individual woman's body and measurements and figure out what's going to be the best implant and the best thing to do for her. So it's definitely a team approach. I'm trying to meet everybody's expectations, but I also know how we can get there and what's the best thing to use to try to get to that place that they want to be.
Yeah, managing expectations is always one of the hardest, I think, and is really key to having a happy patient. But let's talk about this vector imaging. Now, we really haven't talked about that much on my radio show, and I think that that's a great subject to explain what it is and how that can benefit when a patient comes to you and determines how they're going to look with BreastDog rather than filling it up with rice. Do you believe mm-hmm. in that? In the whole rice.
I used to do that. Those and I used to have patients try and implants under their bras and everything until I've completely replaced that with the 3D imaging. For me, it's far superior. Patients love it because they love to see what they're going to look like with different sizes in, and it's been fairly accurate in figuring out what size is going to be the best size for patients. So basically it's that when we do our consultations, patients come in, and if they're having breast surgery, either an augmentation or an augmentation with a lift, and we can even use it for rhinoplasties and chin implants. So we use it for all of these. But they come in and it takes a couple minutes to take an image of them in the machine, and then we upload the photos and we can morph them. So the technology has improved enough that not only can we put in round implants and these gummy bear shaped implants into their bodies and look at different sizes, and then we can also mimic a lift at the same time if they need a lift. So it's pretty amazing technology, and I use it mainly just for information purposes, so I can try to get inside my patients' heads and figure out what do they want, what are they looking for, and how do we achieve that. So I've been really happy with it.
And then if the patient still wants to get a sense of what's this going to look like in clothes,
there's a little tab where you can put on a shirt or swimming suit top, so you can kind of get an idea of what that would look like on the computer at least.
Oh, with the vector imaging?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there is.
Oh, that's great. And what if they, though, really want to get a sense of what it feels like, not just on the camera, on the vector imaging, but if they really want to see what the bra size would look like and wear clothes,
We have lots of implants around our office, and they're always welcome to put the implants underneath their bra. It's a little bit misleading because the implant goes beneath the breast tissue and beneath the muscle, which really does press in on the implant, but it's at least a way to kind of get an idea and a feel for it.
And so these implants are going behind the muscle, correct?
Most of the time, yes. Yeah.
Okay. And when do you determine that it does not? I know sometimes there's cases where it doesn't go behind the muscle. When would that occur?
For me, and again, there are always, some surgeons are going to have a different philosophy, but I primarily place implants behind the muscle because it decreases capsular contracture rate. It makes mammograms more sensitive because they can visualize more of the breast tissue. It adds more padding to the implant, so there's more coverage of the implant. And cases that I'll put implants above the muscle, maybe in someone who has a very constricted or tuberous breast, certain breast shapes sometimes will do a little bit better putting implants above the muscle. But again, that's a rarity. I don't do that often.
And so out of the implants that we spoke about, which do you prefer? Like, what do you mostly use in your practice?
I've used all the implants at various times, and they are all good implants, and I am happy with all of them. Currently, I primarily use the Sientra implants and the Allergan implants, both round and the gummy bear teardrop-shaped ones.
And so for our listeners, if they're thinking about breast augmentation and they go online, and they start reading all this information, it's really confusing. What are some questions that you think would be really appropriate for them to have before they go to their consultation so they can do the research and come up with questions and the answers so they will feel really confident that they're making a good choice? Of course, with a surgeon as well, but at least they'll be a little more educated before the consultation. So what would you suggest?
I think... I think talking to your surgeon about their experience with round implants and teardrop-shaped implants, that there's going to be probably a little bit of bias with every surgeon as to what they feel most comfortable doing. And sometimes we can get really great results with different implants. And so I think there's a certain level of, once you've researched your doctor and you feel like they're well-trained and you're comfortable from that standpoint, there's a little bit of faith in knowing that this person does have experience using these different implants. And I also would encourage patients to think about what are their goals. Do they want to minimize the fullness in the top portion of their breast, or do they want to maximize it? Because people come in both. They come from both standpoints. They may want one or the other. And another thing to think about with the teardrop-shaped implant is we really do want to fit that implant to a patient's breast. So we're not going to put in really oversized implants with that shape. That's something that there's really an appropriate size implant for each patient.
Because if you're a small frame person,
just kind of,
it may not be appropriate to have a certain size that you're thinking
website,
will look great. It may not look great, or a certain type of implant. So I think you have to be open
from our national
to understanding that you have this goal
to just randomly Google search things because you get all kinds of information from different sources.
Sometimes that information is really not accurate. So basically I hear also you saying is don't be fixed on one type of implant or the other. Have your goals in mind. Know what what are you trying to achieve? How do you want to look? And then make sure that you have a little bit of variance to that goal, but you may have to compromise, too, in what's going to look best after seeing the surgeon.
Exactly. Right? And I think one of the most I spend a lot of time with patients talking about through these things because many people come in, and I understand why this happens because it is so confusing. Many people will have a family member or a friend who has a certain CC implant and a certain type of implant, and they like those results, and so they come in wanting that. And I really encourage patients to look online. Our website, marinaplasticsurgery.com, we put up so many patient photos because I want patients to go to the website and look for someone who looks like them, who's their height, their weight, has their breast shape, and then you can get a much better idea of what CC or what size implant will give you what sort of result, because it's comparing apples to oranges if you compare yourself to someone with a different body type or different breast shape. So it's great to come in with an idea, but then be open to really figuring out if that's going to work or not.
So on your website, do you have detailed pictures like that?
We do. We have a lot of breast augmentation pictures. Not every set of photos has that, but we really do try to put a little vignette as to if we know their cup size after or what CC implant we put in, just to help give patients more information when they're looking at those photos.
That's excellent. That's great. I think more surgeons should do that because it's a great point. You know, now they'll be able to look at before and after pictures and they can say, oh, I'm 5'6" and I weigh 130 pounds and this is how I'm going to look. Well, I mean, not exact, but at least they'll have an idea of what's appropriate. What about cost? I understand that gel implants are more expensive than saline, of course. And are the gummy bears more expensive than a round implant? And how much more?
I'm sure it varies per location and per surgeon, but in general, all of the vendors' teardrop shape implants are more expensive, and that can be anywhere from $500 to $1,000 more expensive for the teardrop shaped implants.
So approximately, then, what would a teardrop-shaped implant cost in the LA area?
I probably can't give you that specific information because I don't know from practice to practice. But in general, implants will cost our patients between $1,500 and $2,500, depending.
So that's a $1,000 difference. Depending on size, depending on type, depending on what are the factors.
Right. And those those can fluctuate sometimes, and we're not even talking about saline implants, but
silicone implants. So so the range, the less expensive the round ranges about what price is a round?
Usually
your practice.
Usually around $1,500.
Okay.
For two.
And then for two.
Not for
one.
Pardon.
Two. Right.
Some
we
people
want,
do
we want two breasts, right?
Right.
And what about the other type of implant?
The teardrop shaped implants. They can be usually around $2,500. Sometimes we enroll patients in studies and different things like that, so I'm being purposely vague, but that's the typical price range.
Well, I can appreciate that. So you're looking at roughly how much for a breast augmentation?
Anywhere from, you know, it depends on the surgeon you're going to. It can be anywhere from $5,000 to $10,000 plus. I mean, if you look around and you can find people who kind of advertised bargain basement breast augmentations. Usually those advertisements mean saline implants, and I would encourage people to not shop for the lowest possible price when you're thinking about surgery and your health. There's going to be a range. The American Society of Aesthetic Plastic Surgery publishes reports every single year on the average surgeon's fee and the average range of all these procedures. And I think that's a good place to start with, you know, and I really, really encourage patients not to shop around for a lot of discounts.
Yeah, I do too. I mean, it's just so important. This is your face and your body. And I always say, you can buy a pair of designer shoes and you can return it, but you can't. And if they're on sale, you can return it, but you can't return your face and body. And consumers should not shop for plastic surgery on price point.
No.
And a lot of times it's very misleading, as you say, like they see an ad for low cost and a breast augmentation, but they don't realize, oh, well, this is saline. And
mm-hmm.
and so it's so important to do your due diligence.
Right.
And really.
And it is. And there's a lot of, sorry, I'm interrupting. I get a little bit passionate about it, too. There's a lot that goes into taking care of patients and adhering to the best, you know, patient practices that we know are going to be the safest, give you the safest possible outcomes. And those things do cost money. And so that's part of what paying for surgery means, is you're paying for a certain standard of care, safety precautions, things like that. So you have to wonder if you're getting a really cheap surgery, where are the corners being cut? Because they're obviously having to be cut somewhere. So I think that's really important to keep in mind.
I absolutely agree with you, and it's very sad, you know, when you hear these stories of people that are shopping for bargain prices and they go and have work done, and then they end up getting botched. I don't want to use that phrase, but I guess it's becoming popular now.
Right.
I mean,
or
botched,
worse.
The word botched.
You know, at the end of the day,
it's
about
worse.
Your life and your health.
Right.
So.
Right. And I mean, I can't stress that enough. I mean, I always recommend to any patients that I see as clients that if you can't afford it now, then just save your money until you can.
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't
absolutely.
Don't take that latte or two every day. You know, I once added up the amount of lattes I spend a month.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like almost $200 a month of lattes. That's a lot of lattes. You know, you can save that money and put it in a little piggy bank for your cosmetic needs.
Absolutely.
It's probably better than consuming lattes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it has multiple benefits.
Right. And so how can listeners get in touch with you? What is the website again?
It's marinaplasticsurgery.com. And we're Marina Plastic Surgery Associates. It's Dr. Grant Stevens, myself, Dr. Michelle Spring, and Dr. Luis Macias. And we're located in Marina Del Rey, California.
And do you have a Twitter handle under your name, or is it all under Marina Bay?
Dr. M. Spring, at Dr. M. Spring.
Okay, great, thank you. And Facebook as well?
Facebook is Marina Plastic Surgery.
Okay, so it's all under Marina Plastic Surgery.
Okay,
well, thank you so much for joining me today. This is a lot of great knowledge, and if any listeners out there, you know, like Dr. Spring said, if you're looking to do breast augmentation, you know, go to the organizational sites. Go to Plastic Surgery, American Society of Plastic Surgery. Do your research, not on message boards, not on Yelp. You know, really go to organizational websites that can give you the information that is real and not a bunch of hype, right?
Absolutely. And don't be afraid to ask your surgeon questions, and they should take the time to talk you through it and until you understand what the plan is. A lot of patients are confused and don't feel like anybody explained things to them. So I can't emphasize that enough. That's what we're here for. I want my patients to understand what we're doing and why and be on board with it and feel really confident going forward. So don't be afraid to talk to your surgeons.
That's great advice. I love that advice. Don't be afraid to talk to your surgeon. They're humans. They're people just like you.
Right? And they should answer your questions.
I know. But I do want to mention a lot of people are afraid to talk to their surgeons. They're afraid to be totally honest and upfront about how they feel. I certainly encourage my clients to talk to their surgeon, you know, and whatever they're feeling and thinking, it's so important to develop that relationship.
And especially before surgery. Get your questions out before you have surgery.
Yes. Yep. Well, thank you again. Thank you for joining me, and have a wonderful weekend. And listeners can reach me at 415-494-7211 if they'd like to schedule a consult. They can also go to my website at niptuckcoach.com and email me at info@niptuckcoach.com. You can sign up for my weekly newsletter, which is Niptuck Talk, at niptuckcoach.com, as well as downloading my free ebook. And I'm also on Twitter and Facebook, and have a beautiful weekend. Thank you, and thank you again for joining me, Dr. Spring.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
We hope you enjoyed listening to the Niptuck Coach Radio. Join us next week for another exciting program about the world of cosmetic surgery and beauty. To learn more about Michelle Garber, go to www.niptuckcoach.com. To consult with Michelle directly, call 415-494-7211.